Righteous Reg is a rapper, a writer, and a podcaster out of Oakland, California. Combining knowledge and humor with experience on podcasts on a weekly basis, writing for 40-year-old wrestling magazine, Pro Wrestling Illustrated, or through his music featured on righteousreg.bandcamp.com, Reg uses his experiences as a Black man to carve his own niche in any space he exists in, and is constantly trying to move with integrity. Reg uses his art, his time, and his life for expression. Ladies, gentlemen, theys, thems, and nims, Righteous Reg. Fabulous. I'm so excited to have this conversation. And I always like to start the podcast with, who are you? I want you to describe it, because whatever I read is going to be different. However people have perceived you is different. Like, who are you?
You know, Jim, I have an intro for my little podcast. Every time I come on, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster. And I like to think that in my current space, in my current life, that's who I am. Like, when people ask, like, what's your life like? And I talk about wrestling, they're like, anything else? And I'm like, legit, no. I talk about wrestling for like 10 hours a week, all the time on podcasting. That's my life. But beyond that, I'm a Black man trying to exist in this wild world. I live in Oakland, California, Jim. So every single day I see and hear wild stuff, and just trying to exist in that space and trying to block it out sometimes, and trying to everything that kind of exists in that, and exist in the wrestling space, and exist as a rapper, and exist as a writer, and just being creative and being me. That's who Righteous Reg is. He's all of it.
Ooh, I love this. I love this. And we're going to get into all of that. But how did we meet? I want to hear how you think we met. Like, what is your version of how we met?
So I remember it's started with the internet and Twitter. Never going to call it X. It is what it is.
But I'm not doing that.
Yes, exactly. I remember you just like appearing in the space. You had like, there were some articles or some kind of something you had put out. And I was like, oh, this person is interesting. And you had started like responding to some things that I had. That I was, you know, just random Twitter things, just being cool. And I'm like, oh, this is a cool person. Then I think the first time was at Wale Mania last year, where I was like, okay, this person looks familiar. Where are you? You know, sometimes you like, you can know somebody on the internet or whatever, and you see them in person. Yeah. You're like, I think I know this person from something. And you're like, oh, I'm that person. I'm like, oh, that's that person. And then like, you were as cool as you were on the internet, even cooler, honestly, even cooler in person.
Because of how we eat, huh?
I mean,
it's because of how we eat.
Listen. The game is the game, Jim. It doesn't. There don't have to be any lies here. Like, you could have been like okay and had weed and been exceptional, but being really cool and having weed, it was like, all right. Like, listen, I like this person. So yeah, just I think we started out on a really good foot, and you had good energy, and there were some funny things happening that night. Like, I needed your energy in that night, because like
that night was wild. It was so listen. I also want people to know, they probably like think I asked this question to like toot myself up, but I always think the way that I envision meeting people sometimes is different. So I love to hear like people's perception, because I also am reminded that sometimes I do wild shit. And so this is always fun for me.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into this. And this podcast is called The Trauma Within. So what does trauma mean to you?
It in this current space, it means a lot of things, because I think it's more in your face now than it was previously. But like, it's now discovering that I've always had them within, but now it's like I know how to I know how to express where what they did and how kind of they did. It's like you experience these situations when you're younger or in a past time, and they just kind of are things you thought you went through. And then you tell other people about these experiences and they're like, whoa, that sounds crazy. Like, I mean, living in the hood and seeing people get shot as a child, but that's not like I don't carry that every single day, but like just kind of thinking back and and being like, oh, that one time this funny story happened, and people are like, what? That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my entire life. And you're like,
it's not a ha ha hee hee. No.
You're like, wait, but my whole life, that's been a funny story that I've been telling people. And they're like, no, that's not funny. That's frightening. That's this. So like, just kind of understanding that that specifically stories that I thought were funny growing up are trauma. And I'm like, oh man. And then on top of that, kind of like moving to Oakland and experiencing a bunch of different women, I'll say, and all the way that some women present their trauma. Some of them are immediately on the surface. Some of them give it to you. Some of them are like, you're like, hi. And they're like, these are all my traumas right here. And these are everything you should avoid. And these are, and I'm like, it's been great to experience kind of all shades of that. Cause you don't, sometimes you don't even know like when you could be a trigger. And like navigating that space has been interesting of like, I could trigger somebody's trauma and how do I handle that?
I think those are things that like people don't talk about. And like, you know, I'm thankful that we have like a friendship now that we'd be like, let me tell you about what happened. And then like we and we'd be like, that's wild first out the gate. And then like to be able to have that conversation and be like, well, what do you think? This is what happened to me. And totally. This is how I perceived it. And I think that's so helpful. We'll talk more about community because I think that's so important. But this conversation for me is people see you as Righteous Reg, the wrestling guy, right? Like we'll talk about wrestling because that's how we know each other. Mm-hmm. But you are so much more to that. Like you are and that, right? Like I personally am thankful I get a different version of you. Like I get to see that. We talk about that, but we have like life conversations and sometimes being the black guy in alternative spaces can be real fun, real interesting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thinking about this conversation, what is an alternative space to you? Like, where are the spaces that you consider to be alternative that you exist in?
It's funny that I am now Righteous Reg in this wrestling space because that's my alternative wrestling space legit from day one has been pro wrestling. The way to escape from everything I just described earlier. I grew up in Bakersfield, California, and there was a lot of gang violence, like people that I play football, flag touch football with them one day and the next day they're gone because they died in a drive-by the next day. So like existing in that space of like, outside is scary. There's crazy stuff going on all the time. The police are body slamming. I don't know what's going on. And then like the movies we would watch, we're watching like Boys in the Hood and Menace to Society, all these like, it seemed like black culture is crazy. Like the scariest stuff is going on. So I could turn on wrestling and I don't have any of that. There's no drive-bys. There's no gangs. There's no none of this. There's just this imaginary world where anything is kind of possible. And so I was existing in that space, and it's funny because it's carried on throughout my whole life. Like, I've like
we're in our 30s.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, being being the wrestling kid in school was always like. At first, it's like everybody's into wrestling.
They not.
It's kind of like in junior high, everybody was in wrestling. Then you get to high school, and like it starts to slowly wean off of these people. But you continue, and people are like, "Oh, you still like that? Like, what? Like." We're like getting high and drinking and seeing girls and all this. And you're trying to watch some WWF. And I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? So like being that guy, and I was always that. There's still people that I see from high school and they're like, you're still into that wrestling shit? Like that's been a cloud.
Like it breaks me money, actually.
I mean, at this point, it feels good to say, but for a while I was like, yeah, I guess. But now it can seem cool. But yeah, so like kind of existing in that space, it's always felt like an alternative, always felt like a difference. It was like, I didn't have all the black friends in high school because I'm alternative. People were calling me a skater, even though I never skateboarded. That was just like, you know, like
they had to find something.
It had to be something. I'm like, dude, if I could kickflip, that'd be sick. But I can't do any of that. I was just like put into that space because that's what the alternative black guys are. You're either like a musician and you like playing, so you're in that space, or you're a skateboarder, so you're in that space, or you're just like, you know, you. A biracial and you're kind of there's like these kind of like little spaces that black guys can exist in that's different than what the norm is that you're considered alternative. So I've just carried that out pretty much. It still feels like that in a way just because of the space that pro wrestling is. It's like a big space of white guys that are still dominating. The top of the top is still some random white guy. Okay. So it's like trying to be me in that space has been a lot.
Yeah. Also like there's other alternative spaces that I see you in.
Yeah.
Like we like emo music.
Yep.
Some people they be questioning. Listen, I was going to wear my used sweatshirt because whatever. But people also be like, you like that? That's not white people shit. I just thought it was music. Okay. I thought we all had feelings.
Listen, Jim, if I had a nickel for every time I heard you like that, that's that white people shit, I'd be a millionaire out here. What's white people shit? It's crazy. Like, there was this, I remember Donald Glover had a special where he was talking about black nerd shit. And he's like, before like Barack and like Kanye West, like the black nerd was like Urkel. And it's like, there was like that space of like, if you like anything besides gangster rap and like this dope shit, you're a nerd, you're a loser, you're this, you're whatever. And so there was a time when liking different things, liking wrestling, liking anime is so huge now, Jim, it's crazy. But they
do
were
like anime.
I do not like anime. I don't know anything about
okay,
it.
Okay, well, I try. I don't either. Yeah. But I try.
Every time people are talking about it, I'm like, yeah, but I know 0% about it. But I know like my cousins were super into like Dragon Ball Z. So there was like all of these spaces that like before it was like you're a big nerd, but now it's like cool rappers like anime and wrestling and shit. So it was different. But like it feels like a new space now. And to exist in those alternatives, and wrestling taught me to like rock music pretty much. Like I like rock music now because of wrestling music videos and what they were. So I had moved into that space also. I started going to Warped Tour and started existing in like a different,
I love Warped Tour.
Yeah, oh my god, the first time I ever
affordability,
I didn't know that black people could get a sunburn until I went to Warped Tour because I got a sunburn.
I blacked out my first Warped Tour,
honestly. Like we need to like, I don't know if there's a Warped Tour documentary, but us kids, we didn't care about nothing like drinking water. No, I'm gonna be out here for 8 straight hours, the sun beating what down water? On me. I don't care about food or water. I care about Chiodos. That's what life was like back then.
I was just listening to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. No. Like, since we're here now, listen, Warped Tour was like a time. Most of y'all have never, because who knows how old you are, but if you got to go to see like all of your favorite bands for like $50,
yeah.
Okay, one, that was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you got to like be out there, like Reg said, in the sun. Okay, looking for water, walking with random people. Yeah. It's so many different types of humans, but also looking around, and it was like scattered blacks.
Yeah, there was probably like salt and pepper. The show that I went through, and I think it was in Ventura, California, for people that don't know.
Okay,
there was probably like 5 of us there out of however many thousand, not us there. So, like, existing in that of like,
and you find each other.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I've been in situations like, thinking back now, like if they would have just ravaged me and killed me, like they could have had the easiest story to tell in the world. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he was there and blah, blah, blah happened. Like that could have happened like immediately, like something could have changed so fast. But I didn't think about that. I was just like, where's the next band at?
Mm. Yeah, I miss that.
I miss it too.
I wish people hadn't ruined that. And also the affordability. Mm. What a time. I don't think we appreciated it back then.
Well, we got this but new now, one coming up. What's the when we were young? You're not doing it?
Now I'm old. But now I'm not young. So
it's different though, huh, Jim? I can't go stand out somewhere for 8 hours, you guys. I'm sorry.
I can't. You know what though? You feel free though, if you would like to offer Jiminika a VIP ticket. You know, she is always in the season to receive. Reg, see, you're not trying to receive. You better open up for them blessings.
I don't know the game.
You don't know. Listen, people want to bless you, Reg. Okay, let me help Reg also.
Please help me.
Reg also would like to feel young and go to Vegas.
That's
so
true.
If you would like to send a little donation over.
I'm like, being hot in Vegas sounds we crazy. Can why do we all, why do
that
we,
also sounds
why don't we decide on Vegas for this? Like, what? Like, what?
Oh. Yeah, I had friends that went and they was passing out. I don't know.
See, like when I was 20, whatever, 20 years old back then at Warped Tour, I don't care. I'll pass out right now, but now I can't be passed out.
Pass out right now is wild.
I will pass out right now. I don't care.
Okay. Black me out. No, no, no.
Jim, come on. Mm-hmm. Drinking 12 beers and taking 5 shots. I will black out, right? I don't care. I don't have nothing to do tomorrow.
I mean, I would black out and I don't even need to be in the sun. That sounds wild.
Exactly.
Bitch.
It's great time.
We are over 35. I'm not telling our business, but we are over 35.
Yeah. Yeah. Not anymore. No. Tomorrow. Now I'm like, oh, you want to go out to drink? Like, how many drinks are we going to have? Because I got tomorrow. I can't
start counting your drinks.
I can't, like, I have to plan my day. Like, hangovers don't exist to me anymore because I just can't. I don't have time.
You know what this opens up my thought process to? I have been seeing more people as we are aging and in more Black spaces. And like, cannabis is an alternative space for people. Yep. Mushrooms, hallucinogens are an alternative space. Like I, you and I talk about this. I have been navigating what healing and processing looks like, mm-hmm. being Black, being a Black woman. And that also feels like an alternative space.
It does.
And it feels weird sometimes, like to do the research and like seeing conferences and stuff. And I'll be like, that is very not melanated. I'm not seeing it. But those are also, I feel like those are alternative spaces that I exist in while I am learning and growing. Like I have a weed tattoo on me. It's not like, it's not a surprise for people. But like, do you also see the struggles for Black folks in those spaces? Cause I know you around them, mm-hmm. like you from the Bay, you know the things.
Everything. Yeah, but specifically, that's a great point to start out with, is in the Bay. Cause like I said, I grew up in Bakersfield
and it's different.
Way different over here.
It's different there than LA.
Exactly. Those three places are totally different with how these things exist. So coming into this, and especially in Black spaces, anything besides weed coming up was crack. Like,
it's for white people. Is that white people shit?
Exactly. Yes. White people shit. Cocaine, crack, like all this stuff is like, if you're doing anything,
keep crack and meth.
Yeah,
y'all can
have that. I don't know. The meth thing, you know what I just learned about
Methodia season.
I was in Bakersfield, so I was like swiping, and one of the women I was on,
you out here swiping and swiping.
Maybe Plenty of Fish, and maybe on another level on there. This lady said she does, it was something like P for P or something, or party play or something. I think it was party play. And okay. I was like, I don't know what this is. So I go and research, and it's like, oh, they like to do meth and then have sex. I'm like, hold on a minute.
I don't know if that's my type of journey. A methonia time.
Yeah, like that's how you get the party started. Like we do the meth together and then we start. I'm like, whoa, this is the line.
But like, okay, since we're here, like out of all the options,
I'm saying, Jim, like there's all, we could get there all kinds of ways, and that's where you're going with. I had to research, and I was like, "What does this mean?" Like, because it could mean anything, and they're like, "No, they're like specifically meth," and I'm like, "Oh, whoa, all right, yeah."
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Why meth? I mean, I don't partake in
meth. I would know. And I'm glad I don't know, you know?
It's not for me. Everything isn't for me. Exactly. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what? Lesson learned. Everything is not for you. And that's okay. Take that lesson right now in this moment.
That's a big fact. Big fact. Yeah. So kind of like it's been a journey really with the mushrooms specifically, because it's been, maybe like 2 years since I've been doing them. And when I explain to like my cousins and things, they're still like, that's a crazy world. Like you're crossing out, like telling them like stories of like, oh, some things like the walls are animated and shit's, they're like, you're doing real drugs. And it's like, it's going to take a lot, I think, to get into the Black space of where we truly understand what it does. Because the first time I had a trip, like your traumas come to say what's up, like off rip. They're like, right. If you have some, they're like, yo, I'm here, brother. Those things you've been pushing down, what's up? Let's high five. And you're like, it's a lot to take on. So knowing the trauma that Black people continuously carry around, knowing that you have to meet those traumas head on, that's a lot to try to get people to get into.
It's so interesting. My first trip was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, if we gonna die, might as well endure. I don't know.
Same.
You know what? I didn't do meth. I didn't do meth.
No, not meth. No.
See there?
There's a line. There's a line.
I just want y'all to remember, we are not talking about meth.
That's
only.
It.
So we gotta be clear.
Very clear. Do not clip me. Be like, they meth and then did it. Up. Yeah, no, I did not.
That doesn't exist here. But I have always looked at as these things as like medicines, because during the pandemic, I also got another degree. If you know me, no one is surprised. Yep. And so I studied alternative medicine, because for me, I always thought that Black and brown people couldn't always afford all these medicines over the counter.
True.
And so they used herbs, they used nature, they used ancestral things. And so I started doing research and I was like, mushrooms have been used for many years as a healing, mm-hmm. right? Like people didn't know about talk therapy and stuff. And as someone that is, my background is psychology. I've been studying psychology since I was 16, which is wild to think about.
Long time.
She old. And the idea of like what processing looks like is so different for people.
It is.
Right? Like mushrooms are so helpful if it's done right and with intentionality. Let me tell you, the first time I had like a full trip, I was in my bed crying, weighted blanket. Yep. And I looked to the side because I always talk to it. Like, am I doing the right thing? Is this what my career looks like? And I promise you the wildest shit. I looked to the right and my closet door opened up. Mm-hmm. And all of these beautiful Black women in my family started walking out. See, and we're like, hey, girl, you're doing great. I was shook.
All the Black women in your family started having a fashion show. This is crazy.
Hey, girl, you're doing great. But also, like, they were like, you're supposed to use this to help other Black women break free.
Uh-huh.
And so having this conversation with you, it does allow for like processing, for you to look at things and question, and for oftentimes your brain to get out of like that traumatic space, like that's been holding you, to go to like exhale to like deal with it, which is wild.
Yeah. Cause like I said, you walk around for so long, not pushing it down, trying to get away from it. And then when you see it head on and you're like, oh shit, like I've been dealing with this, maybe not on a daily basis, but on a weekly basis, this is some part of this has been eating at me. And so to even get to that space, Jim, to where you want to deal with it, because for a lot of those young 20 years, like I'm getting drunk and all this, cause I don't want to I just want to party, dude. I don't want to talk about that. Your friends don't want to talk about feelings and all, they don't talk about any of that shit. So you have to push it down. I'm so happy that we've gotten space where it's gotten better for Black men to talk about mental health, because for a while it was like, you'd get laughed out of a place, you get called gay, you get called all, it's like, I'm not any of that, dude. I'm just trying to express how the world is a lot, dude. I need a break. And so to get to this space has been pretty important. And I guess to top it off, is mushrooms has helped a lot to get to there, to discover that. So if anybody had, like, if you just need to microdose, don't go head on, because some people...
I'm a microdoser.
And you said a very important word. You got to be intentional with it. You set intentions coming out. Like, what do you want to get out of this? Do you want to just party? Like, you can. Like, you can just be a party. But if it's like, I'm setting these intentions, I want to talk to this, I want to see all my Black women in my family come out of this closet, or I want to, you know, talk to Babe Ruth because I need to get some baseball advice, like whatever kind of, you got to set an intention, because you can't just go in there willy nilly being like, everybody, all my traumas, let's fight. No, you can't. You're not like, what's the damn Scott Pilgrim. You can't go against all of your exes at once, and you're going to lose.
That's wild, Scott Pilgrim. So this conversation is happening. We don't matter when this is happening, but when it comes out, it is Black History Month. And it was important for me to have specific people to have conversations with. And so I intentionally, because she's an intentional kind of girl, honey, wanted to have a conversation with you, because you exist in spaces that I also exist in that people are confused by. But you brought up something that I think is so important to have during this month, and it's being a Black man in talking about mental health, right? Like, saying it's a gay thing is so funny. I'm like, is it happy then? Is it oppressed?
I'm like, if being good about your mental health is gay, I'm gay as hell, you guys. I'm sorry. Like, what's the like? If that's the game, then I guess I'm playing the game, because I don't want to be on the other side. Being not gay and pushing everything down, I'm chill.
When did you become aware of your mental health, and the other side of that, when did you become aware of needing to maintain that?
It's still a constant process, of course. That's not That's not a surprising thing at all. It was a couple of things. Like, I was dating someone. We were living together. I had got into, like, just kind of the rut. It's been like 5 or 6 years we did together. Just kind of the rut of, like, every, you go to work, you come home, you blah, blah, blah. You go to work, you come home, you blah, blah, blah. Just stuck in that rut, not knowing what I wanted to do with my life, not knowing what, just thinking that I have to make money to pay rent. That's it. That's all. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. I have to do this. So, like, existing in that space and then being with this person and then breaking up kind of because of the space that your head is in and that being attached to, like, some other stuff with, like, your family and just headspace. And then finally just kind of sitting back and being like, all right, like, what is all this? What's going on here? Why is this happening at this moment? And why specifically does it feel like everything's coming down on you at this? So you kind of sit back and analyze. First, starting off, I probably should have started off this podcast. Only child, very important thing, I think, to the guys of this story.
Listen, shout out to the only child crew. Hello, y'all, welcome for us.
Very important people are probably like, oh, it makes sense now. Yeah. Getting away from trying to unlearn, very, very important thing in my space, Jim, is trying to unlearn. Being an only child, being so selfish. Like, I didn't, my ex-girlfriend was like, I just want you to, like, think about me. And it seems like I'm thinking about you every day. I love you. I blah, blah, blah. But, like, just, like, being on your way home and picking up a pint of ice cream for her, like, that's all she cares about. She doesn't care about diamond rings. She doesn't care about fucking going on vacation. She just cares that, like, for 15 seconds out of me driving home, I thought about her and making her happy. It was just that. And I wasn't in that space at the time because it was all me, consistently.
Okay, that's not all only children. I also want to announce
That's facts. Like, I'm just talking about me.
Never mind. I'm not only children.
I'm just talking about me, Jim. I'm just talking about me. But yeah, just trying to unlearn these things that I just, like, these selfish things. That took a lot of me to just kind of sit back and realize, all right, there's some things that you're doing. There's some crutches that you've been using. Because I use it as a crutch. Like, I'm an only child. My mom taught me to do this. And, like, she didn't tell me to do anything. You're the one that's being selfish like that. You're the one that's going to have to sit back and reevaluate what you're doing in order to change. And so I was living in San Jose with my ex-girlfriend. We broke up. I moved to Oakland. Moving to Oakland. And then immediately as I'm here, the George Floyd stuff starts happening. So we're in, like, being a black man is, like, the scariest thing in the world for me. And I'm in Oakland, California, you guys. And we're in a pandemic. I don't know what's the pandemic.
I'm going to say this. Niggas was not March, well. Niggas was not
March
well.
11, 2020 is when they announced the pandemic. March 11, 1986 is my birthday. They announced the pandemic on my birthday of 2020. Oh, so I was, like, in a whirlwind, Jim. I don't know what was going on. So, yeah. All this, I break up with my girlfriend, evaluated my whole life. I moved to Oakland. I finally wanted to move to Oakland after a long time, but we're in turmoil. Every time I look outside, there's riots going on outside. There's protests. There's people breaking into banks. They're lighting off fireworks. There's cars on fire. It's turmoil. I went to a couple of those protests in the beginning, probably like three. Mm-hmm. And every time I went there, it felt like the funeral of the black man. And it was hurting my soul. I was like, I shouldn't be here. Like, they're marching for me. Like, I don't have to march for me, motherfucker. I'm the one out here with the turmoil. So, like, I kept seeing that. And I saw the people that were causing the turmoil here in Oakland. And I was like, the plot has been lost. So I'm staying my ass home. But, like, it's all of that to say that also was a big thing of reevaluating, learning who I am. So I took a lot of time to be alone. I had to, because we were in a pandemic, like a crazy time to break up with your significant other and then to go to living with someone to not talking to anyone in the world because you can't. So all those things got me to where I am. It's crazy. Still learning, though, most important, every single day.
Well, shit. You mentioned, like, kind of like seeing black men just, like, at the forefront of the death. And I think for me around that time, it was that and then hashtag speaking out. And so for me, there was also what came up was all this harm in our little alternative space. And so that time just felt so aggressive. But, you know, hashtag speaking out is kind of how I exist in wrestling spaces now. For those that don't know, I am, you know, I work for, I think, I mean, the second biggest company in the U.S.
Yeah, maybe. Far and away, of course. Sure, totally. Is that known? Is that out in the lexicon? Do people know that?
That I work there? I mean, it's on my Instagram. If they read it, I work at AEW. I am one third of the mental health department. If they don't know, hello. But I exist in that space because of hashtag speaking out. Right. And so for me, what also drew me to you during that time, because that's when I was really into Twitter, because we was vibing and seeing things, is for me, seeing the way that people handled that situation was very eye-opening. Because hashtag speaking out was about those that have been sexually assaulted, sexually harmed, but also there was a lot of racial stuff in that, that I think we are overlooking. And, you know, for me, there were so many things that were missing: accountability, mental health support, people being checked for what they have been doing, and, you know, being allowed to continue navigating. And you were talking about it. You were talking about it online. You was like, I don't really care what people think. Like, this is fucked up. Like, and we're still having these conversations today. You and I be having separate convos, but like, the internet is a wild place. Yeah. Like, how did you also navigate hashtag speaking out while also being a Black man and seeing all these things about George Floyd? Because they were simultaneously just whoo, and Twitter, they was tweeting.
I just remember getting home one day and being like, stop sending me news, you guys, on all fronts, on rural fronts, on wrestling fronts. I can't anymore. Like, I've been overloaded with information. Like, I still don't get like updates on like people dying. Like, I don't, if the latest police shooting, I have zero space anymore. I'm maxed out, and it's been maxed out for years. I can't see about it. I can't hear about it. I can't march. I can't do any of it. My body can't take the shit. So yeah, then the stuff starts. Yeah. Then I get online and like all these wrestlers are being spoken out against and all this crazy stuff happens. And to me, Jim, there is no, I don't need to hear another story. Like, when people are like, well, there's a two-side. If you come out and say something's wild and I've heard something's wild about this person, I'm in. Like, you don't need to convince me. When people came and talked about Joey Ryan, it was like, yeah, bro, I don't need to. You don't need to tell me any more stories.
Listen, I loved bar wrestling. He ruined that for me.
He ruined a lot for everybody. And I don't need to be, for me, it's really important, because people think that art can wash away anything. It's the Kanye West experiment. Like, I'm done.
It's the Robert Kelly.
Listen. I'm done with these people. I don't care how good Step in the Name of Love was. I don't care how good Good Life is. These are terrible people that are like, Kanye West is messing. Like, when they say you're setting Black people back, like, usually it's a joke, but this guy's consistently doing it. And just because he has a hot single, I'm supposed to get behind it. And that's how I felt in the wrestling space. Like, oh, just because this guy's a great wrestler, I'm supposed to ignore that he's a fucking terrible human. Absolutely not. That's not enough for me. Like, art isn't enough for me to ignore these injustices. And we could talk in this podcast a million years about women speaking and the time and when and all that, and how men in the spaces handle that. Like, you could have all the facts and they're still like, well, why does she take so long? Well, why does she blah blah blah? Well, why do you have so many fucking questions, dude? Why are you asking all these questions about something you have nothing to do with? So it's like, if I could help in any way, that's kind of where I land at the end. Like, if my little tweets convince somebody of something, if that's the least I could do, I'm a fucking do it. I'm coming out to fight. If you don't like my podcast because I'm fighting for trans rights, if you don't like my podcast because I'm fighting for any LGBT thing, well, fuck off, dude. I don't want you listening to my podcast anyways.
Yeah, it's so interesting when I, because most of my work outside of wrestling is working with trauma survivors in all capacities. And I always call them the bullshit W's, the who, what, when, where's, and why's. Like the W's that are unhelpful because what you're doing in that moment is decentering the actual harm. And as someone that has done research, fun fact, y'all, only 1 to 2% of people that come forward are lying. Do people lie? Yeah, people just fucking lie. People lie. It is what it is, right? But 1 to 2%, and we all know a survivor. Like, even if I'd be like, if it's a hint of someone maybe have done something, I'm listening. What is the hint? Because no one is coming forward for shits and gigs. I am a survivor of many things. I have still never named that person because of whatever. And it doesn't matter. So if you, well, why haven't you? You clearly
do. They know how much is attached to that, Jim. Do you know how much it is to? They just think of like, oh, they're doing it for money. Or they, do you know how much like, this is something people have to hold on to forever. There's not a day where it's like, all right, that's over. Yeah. It's been 3 years. No, it's forever.
Right. And again, like as I said, like, is there a lot of sexual assault? Is there a lot of harm in most places? Yeah, for sure. And in this space, in alternative spaces, I find that it's like even more heightened because there's less eyes on it, but there's different intentionality there, right? Like, especially like in wrestling, we will hear that women wrestlers, they don't navigate the same. There's a lot more safety they have to consider. Queer wrestlers, there's a lot more safety. Shit, let's be honest. People that don't speak English, there's a lot more safety things, right? Right? Like that is a thing that people are overlooking. And then they get on Good Girlfriend Twitter and just be tweeting and tweeting, just put anything.
Just saying anything.
Nasty, unclean nails.
Bro, take a shower before you're saying all this, dude. Why are you saying that? What does this do for you? What does defending a disgusting person do for you? I don't get it.
You're not getting a check. They're not going to acknowledge you.
Look, and even if they do acknowledge you, what the fuck does that mean? Oh, yeah, he said I was cool. You're two gross people together?
Yay.
Yeah, no. Cool, yeah, you did it, dude.
Yay.
Nasty.
Yay. You have been someone that is also very vocal, just in general on Twitter. Go ahead and giggle now because you know I'm coming in. You have been influential with some of them tweets. Why are you laughing? Come back. Hello.
Because this is all your fault. I just want to say, going into this,
I feel like nothing is my fault. What has been your social media life like? Like, what does it look like for you, right? Like, I also know that there has been people that have attacked you, right? Like, we're also talking about, see, this isn't where you thought I was going, smartass. But, like, there's also trauma within being social media. Like, it's a vulnerable space. And so my question to you is, like, how have you navigated some of the wild and racist, like, harmful, wishing death on you, because I've seen it. Like, how have you navigated that in a space of trying to like show up, just get shit off, be entertaining, and also work when people are throwing daggers at you?
I've had to learn to separate the podcast stuff from the social media stuff. It's like, I'm going to continuously get my shit off on all my podcasts. I'm going to be 100% authentically myself because that's the space it is. But the Twitter has to be something different because everybody's going to interpret these things however they want. Just like I said a few minutes ago, Jim, even if you have 100% of the facts, the people don't care. If you're like, here's a tweet, and then the people interpret it how they want to, and you're like, no, this is actually what I meant. They're still like, I don't care. This is how I interpreted it. So it's like, you have to want to exist in a space where you feel confident behind the things you say. So I've gotten to a place where I feel confident behind the things I say, but I did have a conversation. I have gotten to a place where things have gotten better. I was going like, I was 100% unfiltered. Like, I don't care about anything. I'll let the chopper spray every single day. Don't care about nothing. Then somebody was like, hey, I'm all with you. Good, you're doing your thing, but maybe just chill a little bit. And I was like, you know, another time we just kind of had to sit back, take it all in. Because at first I'm like, me? What? my integrity, but it's not about that. It's not like this person wasn't trying to be like, stop being righteous, Reg. You need to stop. It's like, just chill because streets are watching.
Intentionality.
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 No, word of the day, y'all. And
everyone is watching at all times. I used to just be like, oh, everybody, yeah, all right. But watching. Like, now it's like, hey, yo. Uh-huh.
I mean, that is true, right? Like, you never know who is watching you, especially as a creative. And, you know, in these spaces, there's also the idea of, like, acceptance. And we do have a different mm-hmm. level of acceptance in these spaces at this point. In this point of where we are in this conversation, we are allowed in a lot of spaces that people want to be exact. In. Right? And so, you know, that means more eyes. People are like, who is that? They're going to start doing their research and looking. And then, like you said, just existing on Twitter sometimes can be really interesting. You could be like, I had a good day. So I'd be like, fuck your life. Whoa, choke on you. Like, dude. Oh my God. I just said I had a good day.
The people, I've had some people upset in my DMs because they come at me with that energy and I'm like, whatever, dude. And then they come to the DMs and they're like, you're the worst rapper of all time. That's why you're single, never blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, if my wrestling opinion has gotten you this crazy, gotten you off your character out of that, wow. Let's talk about this. Like, if I'm seriously a person that bullshits on the internet about wrestling, gotten you in this space, what's up? Like, let's talk about it. And they hate when you say that. They're like, what? Oh yeah, all right. I'm like, no, dude, I'm being serious. Like, if my wrestling opinions got you this crazy, we need to talk about this because this is crazy. It shouldn't be like this.
You know, it's so interesting. There's a few people that will just like real humble people real quick. You're one of them. Cam is also one of them.
See, I've stopped. I've gotten to a mental space of like, you're never going to win. But Cam don't care. Cam's like, your mom thinks you're a failure. And I'm like, dude, that's crazy. Your mom thinks you're a failure? Damn, dude. Like, you're cutting deep.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what I thought you were going to say. So that was hella funny. But like the idea of being like, but also bringing it back to that person, like, what's good? Are you having a rough day? Like, mm-hmm. what is it that you saw mm-hmm. me and just fired off? And then there's just the people that just are bored and racist.
I think living in Oakland has gotten me to that spot. I've learned driving. I also like drive for a living, like do Instacart and things like on the side to make money because I exist in the wrestling space. And of course, I have to make more money to survive out here. And so I've learned about patience because everyone out here, and you live in LA, so you know what time it is. Everyone is so impatient all the time. Everyone has somewhere to be. It doesn't matter what time. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody's like, move out of the way. And you're like, dude, it's three. Like, where do you got to go? But I've learned to just chill. I leave everywhere. I go early. Like, I don't want to stress. I want to help myself in all situations. So I exist in a space of being more patient and existing on the internet. I've tried to apply that of like patience, patience, patience. Everybody's going at a million miles per hour. They're in a different lane than you are, and that's okay. Not everyone is going to get me. And that's probably where the best place I've landed at is. Not everybody's going to understand Righteous Reg. Like, the biggest rapper, Kendrick Lamar and Jay-Z and Nas, the greatest rappers of all time, have so many haters. Like, it's insane how many people. They call Jay-Z, who many consider the greatest of all time, his wife's husband. They call him Beyonce's husband. And he's like, he's the reason why some people are here, and he's the greatest of all time. So it's like, no matter what, there's gonna be a.
You better be Beyonce's husband.
I'm like, Jay-Z, that's Hov, bro. Like, the blueprint, the black, like what? And they're like, no, that's Beyonce's husband. So no matter what you do, you could be the number one person in your field and still just be someone's husband. So continue to just do you.
What does community mean to you in these spaces? Like, you know, what does it mean to have community in the music world? What does it mean to have community in the wrestling world and like the herbal world? Like, what does community mean to you? And like, do you think it's needed?
It's very important, specifically in all those things. The pandemic has messed up one good thing of those things that you described, the herbal world, specifically smoking weed, because the cipher is one of the greatest networking experiences there are. The Blunt Cipher at the end of some show, somewhere random, in some Blunt dark Cipher. Alley, okay. Where you're like, how am I in a circle with insert random name and insert random name and insert random name, and we're just like, blah, 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 and that's getting me to situations. But COVID has stopped that, because I ain't passing my blunt to nobody. And every time I pass my blunt to somebody, I end up with the sickness. I pass my blunt to somebody in Chicago, sick. Pass my blunt to somebody in Texas, sick. Wow. And that's the reason. So that networking thing kind of being taken away has been unfortunate. But like building community, like networking can seem at points like dumb. Like I don't want to go this to just for do that. But like in situations like that, I thought it helped a lot. It's funny. We just talked about Twitter and how there it can affect your mental health. Sometimes it's bad. But then you can get to a space where the community is so strong for like Grapsity, like. If yeah. something happens in Black Wrestling Gym, like I know I'm going to get online and they're going to be like, Rage and Phil, you guys have to talk about this on Grapsity. Can't wait to hear these guys talk about it on Grapsity. Can't wait to blah, blah, blah. I've been to events this year and looked across in a live arena and seen a Grapsity sign. Like to know that me talking in this space, me existing here, me loving wrestling, me being Righteous Rage has gotten to where people... Being a black man.
There's so many podcasts about wrestling. Don't look like y'all.
Like sometimes I don't really know y'all. The power. Like I'm just like legit. I wake up on Saturday and talk with my friend about wrestling. Like I don't know that like people are like, this is important. Yeah.
For 3 hours. No, look, let's do this. Phil. Phil, sit down. We're about to have a meeting.
She said, Phil, sit down. Listen, Jim, it could be on record.
It's Reg.
It could be on record, finally. This is what the game recommends, Jim. I can't. We can't stop doing 3-hour podcasts. Every single time I have a podcast, I get a text from Jim that's like 3 hours again. And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want from me? That's what the game wants.
You know what, though? It's to the point that you will text me before. Like, I clock the time. Be ready. And I'd be like, it's fine.
I love it. Just that could, like, I didn't know that. There's sometimes, I came back from Chicago. Remember, I was like, I don't know about this, Jim. Like, I might be out of here. But, like, yeah, I was like, I might throw in the towel. But, like, the community, I remember doing a tweet of that, of being like, I don't know, man, like. We're out here working hard as fuck, and I'm not getting the rewards that I should be getting or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the community of all those people to be like, no, your voice is so important out here. What you do is important, blah, blah, blah. We need you in this space. It's like, man, this is all worth it. This is cool. Waking up and doing these podcasts and committing my time when I should be making money somewhere else trying to pay rent. It is all worth it because of the community that surrounds it. It feels nice sometimes because brothers be down out here. Like I'm not doing this podcast anymore. Fuck y'all. How about that?
But
like,
be truthful.
Everybody's like, no, we need you. And it feels good. It feels really good.
Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful conversation of like, I know like when you have seen those signs, like you'd be like, they really care. Like that, even though like, you know, it like, you know, like, yeah, people fuck
to
with
see
us,
it.
But to like see it and like, I've been standing next to you, Phil, and Will, and somebody would come up and be like, can I have your
autograph? It's crazy. It's going to a wrestling show and walking by and somebody being like, Grapsity? And it's like, dude, what? Like, I've loved wrestling for 30 years. Jim's already gave up tell us about the age and shit. You know, we're old people around here. For 30 plus years, I've loved this sport. I've loved this. This is why I'm so crazy. This is why I do so much of it.
Yeah.
I love it here. Like that, at the end of the day, you know that about me. Call me a shill, call me whatever. I fucking love it here. And to see, and to have been on the other side, to been going to wrestling shows for so long, and to now go to wrestling shows and be somebody in this space, it's so cool to me. I never want that to get lost on anything. Like, it's amazing for people to be like, spot foo or flipping and spinning or whatever kind of dumb sayings I have. It's like, dude, this is cool.
That's so funny. I, you know what? Cause I, you know, I support these individuals. I support their brains. But like when I give my spiel, when I meet new wrestlers, I'm always like, I do this work selfishly. And they'd be like, what? I'm like, I've been watching wrestling and I'm here selfishly because I love the work that you do. And I want you to be a whole human to do it. And sometimes they look at me and they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, so I need you to have your things together. Let's help you get some tools so I can see you do the trick. What is your favorite style of wrestling? I think we have the same.
Everybody style. Knows what my favorite style of wrestling is. Flipping and spinning spot foo. I just said it right now. Nutella. I love flips. I love spots. I love back to back. I love 1,000 mile per hour wrestling. Vikingo, Commander, that crazy shit. Rey Fénix. I love it. That's when it just. I talked about it this recently with somebody because AEW filed that trademark Get the Feeling. And I was like, well, what the? Yeah, that's the newest trademark that was filed. And I was like, what does Get the Feeling mean? Just trolling. Because I know exactly what the feeling is. I've watched wrestling. Specifically, I could think of Supercard of Honor last year, Commander and Vikingo one-on-one. Watching that live being in a building at this big age, Jim, but feeling like you're 12 years old, that's the feeling. Watching Bryan Danielson came out to Final Countdown in Chicago, and I was a kid. That's the feeling. Feeling like that, you can't replicate that. And to be able to exist in this space and have friends over there and have all this stuff, it feels like a dream sometimes. Like, I'm like, yo, what's going on? I want more, of course. I'd like my cake and to eat it too. I'm just having the cake right now. The cake is just there, and I can't eat it yet. But I'd like to have both.
Lucha. I love Lucha.
You're from here in California. That's
like
why.
Listen. Of course. Like one of my Christmas presents. I'll tell my business. One of my Christmas presents to myself. I was in an elevator with Gringo Loco, and I appreciate that man's work. Like, if you look at Gringo, you get an opinion, and then you see that man in a ring, and your opinion goes, what? And so I was like, hey, you selling those hats you got on? He was like, what? And I was like, I want that hat. And it was his hat. And he was like, yeah. And so I got home, and I'm like, I work with you. I can just ask you. But I tweeted him. I was like, don't forget I want that hat. And so I bought the hat and he sent me, I purchased it because give money to wrestlers, right? Like give money to indie wrestlers. Also, that is how you can support. And he signed the hat for me. I'm so excited to wear it. Like I can still separate this work and still appreciate the art, right? Like what they do in this ring, honey, when people find out I work in wrestling, they're like, what are you? I said, What you won't see is me in nobody's ring. I'm not taking Nan bump. Don't touch me. Don't even look over here.
No, you're just in the back doing hair. That's it.
But like what they do. Ooh, here we, okay. Oh, you're a comedian today. Reg want to throw out microaggressions.
You know how I do. Don't be acting surprised.
Yeah, we don't look alike.
She's fine.
She's banging.
Everybody's fine here, but yeah.
For those that know, she is beautiful. For those that know, you know she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Amazing. We look nothing alike except we black. Her hair ain't even short no more. You know, I'm about to get some braids in next month or this month when it comes
see?
Out.
You doing it to yourself at
when
this
I go
point.
Back in March.
You know how they gonna see his hair? Oh, that's her again. Can you do me up? Okay, let's get back on the line. I'm sorry.
I can't say it. No, you're fine. Listen, this is letting people know. What have been your highs and your lows in these spaces? Or like for yourself? Like what have been
I think
big highs
kind
and
of
big
what
lows?
I previously described here of knowing that I'm kind of a voice out here. Like I kind of think just setting out for this, that always was the thing of like, I just kind of want to be a voice. I was just recently today making a TikTok because I'm becoming a TikTok guy, which is it's gonna take some time.
TikToker.
Everybody's so good already and I'm trash. I'm like, I want to be all right, whatever, that's another story. But I was listening to our interview with Leo Rush and we kind of talked about him coming back and kind of him existing in this space. And where the reason that I like got part of the reason that I got into this space is the way that they talked about ACH and the way that they talked about Leo Rush. And so kind of to know the thing that I set out to do, I've been doing it like without even kind of really sitting and thinking totally about it. Like I set out to kind of make this plan and that plan's already being executed. Like if it stopped today, I'd be like, okay, I did what I needed to do. Like initially setting out to do the BW 500, it was like, I want this list to become this. And a few weeks ago on TV, Nigel McGuinness was like, Brian Keith is the number one person on the BW 500. I was like, okay, I set out to do this list for this. And that happened. It's like, I'm going to have to start setting different goals. Yeah. So it's like things like that. Last year, there was a lot of highs. Song in a video game is like, just having a song in any video game would be cool, but the song in a wrestling video game is like, there's moments that I wish I could have a time machine. I wouldn't go back to save somebody from dying. I wouldn't go back to blah, blah. I would go back and tell 13-year-old Reggie how cool it is over here. Like, dude, you're going to have a song in a video game. They'd be like, aren't you going to use this for good? I'm like, that is good. I want 13-year-old Reggie to know all this wrestling watching shit is worth it. And there's been a couple of moments like that, having a theme song for Paige Van Zandt that played on a pay-per-view. Doing a big song for my big homie in the AEW Who We Are thing. Like, those moments are like bucket list type moments that I'm just so happy to be a part of. I think the lows are just kind of what I was experienced like recently after Chicago, of like it not feeling like I'm working hard. So every day I'm working up trying to do some content or thinking about when I am going to be recording, what content I'm going to be doing when I do it, and not feeling like I'm getting what the input I'm putting out. Like it feels like people think that Phil and I have this respect, but it's not like it's not shown. Like people are saying all these things, but it doesn't feel like we're receiving it. Like we kind of sat back at the end of the year and kind of thought about what happened in the year and our place in this. And it felt like, yo, I think my motto coming into 2024 is, yeah, y'all have me fucked up. Like y'all consistently have me fucked up. Y'all forget about, like, y'all talk about like, oh, Righteous Reg is this person, Righteous is this person, okay. But you don't really believe that. You're just saying that. Now you got me fucked up and you're not going to have me fucked up anymore. At the end of 2024, you're going to be like, holy shit, Reg is that guy. Reg is the best rapper. Reg is the best writer. Reg is the best podcaster. If I make it undeniable, Jim, then no one can deny me anymore. No, not at all.
Is that really true?
But I'm going to believe it, though.
Listen. Facts. As long as you get there, you get to do the things. What have you learned about yourself in all of this time?
What'd you learn about yourself last year? It's going back to being an only child. It's only like, if I really want to do it, I have to do it for myself. Like coming in here, there's a lot of support. There's a lot of people. But like in order to really be that person, I have to be my number one fan. And it's funny because there's been women that told, it feels like that's a turnoff to them that I'm like such a big, like they're, I'm like, if I don't think I'm the coolest motherfucker in the world, then no one else will. So like, if it comes off as cocky, I'm sorry. Like I do think I'm cool. I do think I'm this, like, I'm a fucking rapper at first, of course. Like I think I'm the best motherfucker in the world. And that's where I want to continue to be at, because I love this shit. I love being me. I love it here. I love existing in this space. I love the challenge still. I think most importantly, landing right now is I learned what I thought was going to get me to where I needed to be isn't going to get me where I needed to be. And now I know what is going to get me where I need to be. And now it's just about execution. So I kind of learned that the things that I thought were something aren't what I thought they were. And that doesn't have to be the end of the world. It could just be the beginning of something else. So I've landed that I'm at the beginning of something else, Jim, and it feels good to be at the beginning of the year.
How do you take care of yourself as you navigate all these things and you continue to learn new parts of yourself?
It's intentional alone time now, because I think there's a lot of, I can be in spaces where I'm not alone, but like, or there's times where I am alone, but it's different of like, I'm just not working, or I'm just whatever I'm doing, like being intentional about that alone time of like, I'm either going to think, or I'm going to work on something, or I'm going to blah, 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 and really kind of make that into something bigger. As it, there's so much of it that days just go by and by. But if you're intentional about every single day, I don't know who just had the quote of like, if you think at the end of the day, was that day, might've been Cat Williams, 'cause he's been in the damn media all this. Like, it's like, if it's at the end of the day and you're sitting and thinking like, this could be the last day, was this day worth that? Like, if it's tonight, I'm like, did I do everything today that warrants this being the end? And like, this is very real. I just saw that a few days ago, and I'm like, I want to start kind of living my day like that, living my life like that. Like, at the end of the day, did you do all the things that you needed to do? But then also, Jim, knowing importantly, out of everything that I say, that you can have days where you don't do none of that shit. You don't think about it. You don't think about growing. You don't think about nothing. You just sit and exist in your space. And if that's existing in filth, if that's what I do, eating junk food all fucking day, then you gotta do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's the idea of like what taking care of yourself looks like. Like, it gotta be expensive. So I always talk about self-care versus self-soothing. And the idea of like self-care is the things that we need, right? Like, you got to take your medicine, bathe if you're able to, right? Because people don't always have the things. You know, feed yourself. But like, the self-soothing is like watching wrestling, you know, making music. Like, that's helpful, but it's also healing for you. So like, it sounds like you have found what works for you in that balance. Yeah, and also continuing to navigate what that looks like.
The easiest thing for me to do is like, go and get a candy bar, go and get a Big Mac and a soda, and put on some 90s hip hop and just sit. Like, it doesn't even have to be, like you said, some people think like self-care, I have to go and buy myself a new Apple Watch. Like, dude, no, you can go to the dollar store and buy three things and have the best day you've had ever, if you just know what space you want to exist in. And I think that's cool with consistently, feels like I do a podcast every day, but I only do one 3 times a week. And it feels like every day is just leading to a podcast. So having that space to just kind of let it go, it feels pretty good.
This has been so fun. My last question is just because I'm newsy. And what is the wildest thing that someone has texted or DM'd you within the last 2 weeks?
Or DM'd me.
Tell us your business.
I
like options.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And wild,
because the first thing I'm like, you know, when you hear wild, first thing you think of like wild, but like, wow. Who is this? See, I have a whole bunch of messages. I'm like,
who is this?
That's the issue with going through my cell phone. It's like, I don't want to say it's a thing, but like, when you exist in this space of poly and you're dating all these people, sometimes you put the number in and it's like, depending on how long this person goes, as when their name will get put in there, because like, I might just delete your name after 2 days. But like, so is this that crazy? Am I wild about it?
Listen, no, because that's all I'm saying.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that's the game. So sometimes it's a number like, oh, who is this? I don't remember this. And you go back and you're like, oh yeah. See, my issue is I'll be trying to spin the block. I'm like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Brother loves to spin the block. Hey, I haven't talked to you in a year. What you been up to? And I know women be talking online how they don't like that shit.
A year is wild.
Stop. I'm like, but it's so fun. It's fun.
A year is wild, Reg. For whom?
For me.
Okay, you know what?
Oh, see, there you go. Okay, there you go. See, I don't know.
That's what we meant to do. See, we did. You can't just not talk to somebody for a year and pop up with a, hey.
But can you?
Excuse you?
It never works. It works 0% of the time. They always hate it.
See? Listen, dating tips. Dating tips. Okay. No, you can't just show up like,
it never works.
Hey girl, how you been? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Where you been? You didn't die. So you didn't die?
Because that's what I don't even know why I tried.
And you're gonna be smiling.
I don't know why I even tried. It seems fun. It's just like a fun little game. You know, you're just like, it's just like a fun little game.
Talking about, it's fun for me.
I don't know. I don't have any. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot. I heard back from someone. I see. I can't even say it. But on Christmas, I got like a mess. I sent out a message to someone months ago. And like on Christmas, they responded back to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it a good response?
We're like
booked and busy.
Booked and busy. It's like, you're there, dude. It was like a you're there, dude text. But not, it was.
So you've just heard a slight tea. It's just very, just like a light sip.
Like, yeah, it was like one of those. But it was like for my spirit on Christmas too, I was like, thank God. Like I was, you know, like when it goes back to everybody's always watching thing, it was like, okay, like I know like the people that I want to be watching this shit are watching it. So I wish I could say, but I can't, but just know it's really good.
Oh, I'm so sorry, y'all, that he showed up with his half-assery today. But just know that Reg is blessed and highly favored.
Dude, you give all your guests shit like this, or it's just me? Okay, good.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. My goal in this podcast is for people to like get the information, but I think that sometimes the information that we have and the conversation we have are hard for people to digest. And my motto is, if you're laughing, you're breathing. If you're breathing, you're
honestly,
present.
And now think about it, the things that you talk about on this show, like you need laughter at some point to break up a little bit of it.
Yeah. We talked about sexual assault in here, and also we're able to laugh and navigate. And for some people, they're going to get to go,
yeah,
okay.
I like it. Come on. I just wanted to be like, yeah, it's only me. It's only him. You know me, Jim. I want all the credit. I want everything. I barely just started letting people produce my music because I want all the credit. I'm still selfish in some places because I just want them to be like, who did it? I want to be like, I did the beat. I did the raps. I did this. I did all this. But I'm chilling. I'm getting better about it. The greatest wrestler of all time now is Bryan Danielson. I've got to see it in person for years and years. I was like, the greatest wrestler of our generation, putting an asterisk on it, putting him behind Bret and Shawn, is Bryan Danielson. But after what happened in 2023, being a part of some of those matches, the greatest of all time is Bryan Danielson. And being able to see him consistently every week on TV is a blessing, since it's not going to be for long. And it's like, no one's better than him. It's Bryan Danielson. But if we're not talking about, everybody knows that right now it's Brian Keith. I'm super high on Brian Keith. Like I said, he was number one on the BW 500. I think he's getting a great shot here in AEW. I think the things that he's doing are exactly what I expected him to do. Sometimes I'm like, I was right, motherfucker. And it feels good. And like, this one feels good of like, I told y'all this was going to happen, bro. It's happening. I love
you really
it.
Like to be like, I told
oh
you.
Oh my God, it gets me somewhere. It's my kink.
I didn't know
I was going to expose it. Like
a secret kink of Reg's. Expose.
You said, all right.
I'm not going to out you. You out yourself. How and where can people
find like I said, I'm not on the social media that much. Actually, yeah, I'm becoming a TikTok guy. So follow me on TikTok first, at Righteous Reg. I'm at Righteous Reg on all your social media platforms, on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Instacart, all those things that you can find, discover me at. Every Saturday, you can find me on the Grapsity podcast with Philip Lindsay. 3 hours long, strap in.
3 hours long.
Get ready for your work commute. Turn me and my boy on and talk about it. Every Wednesday, I'm on with Mike and Indeed talking the best independent wrestling. Also, Wednesday nights, I'm on with Denise. My other very favorite podcast is with Denise. The easiest podcast in the world, the funniest, the funnest, the greatest stuff. We talk the AEW Dynamite post show. Thursdays, every other Thursday is Ask Grapsity with Phil and Reg. We are on this Thursday. You could catch us on this is going to be coming out a different day, but we're on every other Thursday. Catch us doing our thing. And then I'm on with Kate on the ROH post show. I have so many shows. I'm getting some new ones this year. I'm going to maybe just go 100%. I got some great ideas happening. I'm excited about this year, Jim, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Come on, 2024. I hope y'all enjoyed this Black-ass conversation during Black History Month. And until next time.